Awesome to see you guys. How many of you are glad you're in the house of God this morning? Sure, it's a different feeling. But, you know, we plow through, and no matter what the limitations are, we still plow through to get close to God and meet together, right? And I always said, and I studied the book of Acts, you know, the church is not the church unless it meets together. Amen? You know, the church needs, it's the gathered church. So, you know, we're gathering in person, and we're also gathering online, so welcome to as well. But you know, we just need to connect to God, and we need to connect to each other. Amen? Awesome to see you here. I want to embarrass one guy, okay, at least one person. David, can you stand up? Can you give a clap to David? David Dyke. David Dyke spent a year in Teen Challenge, and wow, did God ever do a good work. So when you come back, I want you to share about the good things, the power of God to deliver you and set you free and put your feet on a new path. God bless you. Thanks for joining us here this morning. Good to be here this morning. We have a video that I want to show you. We have a date that we're heading towards. It's September the 20th, and it's all about coming back to church, being here in physical person, you know, online, but more here in physical person, and it's called Stronger Together. So let's watch this video.
The changes brought by COVID-19 have been difficult. Our lives changed overnight as everything shut down. We were forced to deal with isolation in a way we'd never experienced. Suddenly, in the midst of the darkness, God showed up like He always does. Turning fear into faith, quarantine into connecting, and downtime into precious time. Relationships were strengthened unexpectedly. And another thing changed. People all over the world, including our friends, neighbors, coworkers, and families, became more open than ever before to hearing the gospel of hope. The pandemic shook us, but it did not crush us. We shared good times and bad times virtually. We realized what is truly important in this world: each other. The church rose up to help those in need and to be the hands and feet of Jesus during this difficult time. We found out we are stronger together. As life returns to normal and things reopen, we'll never forget how important our relationships are and the value of spending time with loved ones in person. As we're able to gather again face to face, think of every person in your life, at every age and every stage. They're waiting on an invitation to church from you. Because in every way that God connects us, we are stronger together now more than ever.
Amen. We are stronger together. So September the 20th, put that down in your calendar. And it's a date when you can say to, you know, anybody that you know in Christ, and even those, your neighbors, hey, why don't you come to church? Join us in church. So that's the date that we say we're going to get back, and we're going to say welcome back to church. Amen? Amen. Ready to hear the word this morning? Raise your hand. I can see some hands going up. Okay. All right. We're heading into the last week of our series. It's called All In. And all in is about us as believers being all in for Jesus, you know, dedicated, sold out, you know, and passionate, you know, in our love for God. So we need to be an all in people, because Jesus and God are certainly, you know, He's certainly all in for us. Amen. So today I'm going to talk about all in attraction to subtraction. All in, attraction to subtraction. Say that with me. An attraction, come on, say it loud. An attraction to subtraction. Okay, let's pray. Let's ask God to bless this word. Father, I thank You for everyone gathered here, everyone listening today. You have a word to speak to us. Your word is so powerful. It has the power to transform us as we listen into it. Lord, I pray that as we hear the word, may we combine this message with faith and with action so that it bears fruit in our life and it brings glory unto you. In Jesus' name I ask and pray, amen and amen. Okay, so as I think we're still trying to get that PowerPoint up, we're talking about an attraction to subtraction. Now, subtraction is not a very popular word in our society today, right? Subtraction is not as popular as multiplication, right? We all prefer to have more. I mean, we want more wealth, we want more time, we want more comfort, we want more security, you know, we want more influence in our life. You know, there is a season to multiply. There's a season to multiply in business. I think that God's call on business people is to thrive, to be successful. There's a season to multiply in our church because we want to see more people come to Jesus and to find a home right here. God wants us to multiply in our talents and in our abilities so that we build up the church, we build up the body of Christ here. But, listen, before we multiply, God will bring a minus into our life. See, God's math is different. He minuses us so that he can increase in us, bringing him glory and bringing fruit into our lives. John chapter 15, verse 1 says this. These are the words of Jesus. I am a true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and, what's the next word? Pruning. See that word, pruning. Pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. So you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately connected to mine. Powerful words of Jesus. God wants us to multiply. Amen? Say amen. Amen. God wants us to multiply. God wants us to bear fruit. Say amen. Amen. But before we can bear greater fruit, God has to prune us. Amen. Amen. Even though it hurts, listen, it's a blessing. Okay? Webster's dictionary says to prune is to reduce, especially by eliminating superfluous matter. Number two, to cut off or to cut back parts for better shape or more fruitful growth. So God wants to reduce you. He wants to cut things off to see you multiply, right? So what you get when you get pruned is thicker foliage, more flowers, healthier plants, and healthier trees. Now, we have in our backyard, we have an apple tree in our backyard. Now, a few years ago, this apple tree developed a disease called fire blight. And it's where the end of the branches, all the leaves, right at the tips of the branches, these leaves began to turn this bright red brown. It looked like fire. And it started to curl up and they started to fall off the branches. So I called the research station here in town. And they said, what you do is you find a sharp pair of clippers. You soak them in bleach. You brush them with you dip them in bleach, and then you cut off every branch that has these leaves on the end of the branches. So I did that. I cut off every branch that had these leaves, and the tree got a little bit smaller. And so I thought, okay, that's it. My tree's going to be well. But 2 weeks later, I noticed more leaves were turning. You know, this color, this brown red color, and they're starting to drop off. So I did the same thing, got my shears, and I cut them back again. waited another week or two, and the ends of those branches, which were, it was really shrinking the tree, had developed the same thing. So I looked at it and I thought, I'm going to get those branches. I'm going to cut them off. And I kind of went wild. I didn't know what I was doing. I just started hacking and hacking to the point that the tree looked like that. That's not the tree, but that's the closest picture. I didn't take a picture when I did that, but it looked like that. But listen, I said, you know, I think I might have killed the tree. And I thought, well, if it makes it, I should really cut it down now. But I thought, let's leave it over winter. Let's see what happens. Well, you know, next spring, all these brand new shoots start to come out. And you know, that third year, we had an apple crop so abundant, the boughs are ready to break off. Just loaded with apples. Amen? And, you know, that's the picture of our apple tree this week. I just took it. There's Tika, Joanne's dog, my sister-in-law's dog. She got in the picture, too, because she's very photogenic. I should have took a picture of her, too. But you know, that's our apple tree. And you know, there's a right time, and there's a right way to prune. And God knows the right time and the right way, right? Because he's the professional arborist, right? He's also the professional stylist, too, as well. You know, some people are worried that God will give them a bad haircut, right? A bad haircut. No, God will never give you a bad haircut like this one, right? You know, he will never do that. You know, but that's what happens when we get religious, you know, and we step out of God's grace. But God will never do that. You know, I remember when I was in my 20s, you know, it was popular for guys to get perms. Guys were getting perms, and I saw my friends getting perms, and some of them look really weird, you know, and some of them look, well, they look kind of cool. So I thought, you know, I should get a perm too. You know, I need a different look. Now, here I am, full-blooded Japanese. I've got jet black hair. It's straight. It's long and with absolutely no curls in it. And I thought, you know, I'm going to, and I thought about it, and I went to the hairdresser and said, hey, could you give me a perm? But I don't want a bunch of curls. All I want is a bit of waves. Just add a bit of waves to my hair. Make me look cool. And she said, yeah, I can do that. So I sat for 2 hours in that chair, and she put all those things inside of me, and she took those curls off, and I looked in the mirror. I just about freaked out. I mean, I had so many curls, I looked like Fozzie Bear. I was so embarrassed, you know. But you know, God would never do that to us, right? By God's grace, he's the gardener. He's the gardener of our life, and he thins out the old, the weak, the wayward branches, and he opens us up to more sunlight so that we can bear more fruit. On your PowerPoint, the key to our future is allowing God to work in you so that he can work through you. Allow God to work in you so that he can work through you. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Psalm 119, verse 67. I know, O Lord, that your regulations are fair. You discipline me because I needed it. I believe that was King David. Proverbs 3, verse 11 says, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he what? He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Proverbs 10, verse 17. People who accept discipline are on the pathway to life, but those who ignore correction will go astray. Proverbs 12, verse 1. To learn, you must love discipline. You must have an attraction to subtraction. It is stupid to hate correction. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It says there that you may be complete, equipped. Minuses become multiplication. So when is pruning? How does God prune in our life? So when does pruning happen? Pruning happens, number one, on your PowerPoint, when we allow God and His Word, or through His Word, to do the pruning needed in our life. In other words, we got to get into the Word, we got to read it, and we got to apply it to our own life. And in that application, God will help to prune you. Amen? And number two, pruning happens when God uses the people in our lives to speak into our lives. You know, God speaks to me, not just through the Word of God or through the Holy Spirit, but also God speaks to me through my wife, who is the second Holy Spirit, right, in my life. He speaks to me, you know, through my faithful friends, through friends of faith. He'll speak to you, and He speaks to you through your pastors. Amen? And these are just some of the ways that God does it. But listen, we must have an attraction to subtraction in order to multiply. Amen? Think about some people that had some minuses in their life in the Bible before they had multiplication. Think about Gideon. Gideon, remember the story about Gideon? Gideon in the book of Judges? Gideon had to have some minuses in order to win the battle. He had this great battle. God was calling to lead the people of Israel out from bondage of Midians, and all these hordes of people would come and invade their land, and God was saying, I need an army, and Gideon, you're the leader. And Gideon says, okay, I'll be the leader. He's reluctant, but he says, where's my army? And at first of all, Gideon had 32,000 people in his army, 32,000 men. But you know what God said? I said, you know, God said, not enough. Well, actually, He said, I don't need these guys. And He literally whittled, or He subtracted 32,000 less 300. So He ended up with 300 guys instead of 32,000. What was God saying? I could do more with 300 battle-ready, passionate, sold-out guys who will stand in a fight, you know, and face the enemy rather than have 32,000 men who are half committed, half-hearted, and fearful. Amen? Gideon had to experience minuses in order to win the battle. Think about Abram. Abram, in the book of Genesis, had to leave his past. He had to leave his homeland. He had to leave his history, his security, in order to become Abraham, the father of many nations. Amen? Think about the disciples of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus had to leave their nets behind, their thriving businesses and their family, in order to follow God and to turn the world upside down for Jesus. Amen? How about John the Baptist? John the Baptist literally declared, I must decrease so that Jesus could increase. Think about Jesus Himself. He had to go through literally a wilderness experience before God released and launched him into his ministry. On your PowerPoint, there's always a minus before a multiply. So this morning, I'm going to talk about three areas that God's been working on me, and I believe these are three areas that God is going to work or has been working on you. First area is this. Number one, it's the areas of my heart. The areas of my heart. In the book of Samuel in the Old Testament, there's a story of God calling the prophet Samuel to choose another king because Saul wasn't working out as king. He says, I want you to go to the house of Jesse and anoint one of his sons to become the new king over Israel and Judah. And so Samuel went to the house of Jesse. Now Jesse had seven sons. Now he lined up six of these sons. He left one of the sons in the fields to take care of the sheep. And of course, that was David. So Samuel the prophet comes, and he knows he's anointed by God to choose the one and to anoint him, and that person will become king. And so Samuel lines up the son, and the first son that Samuel, or Jesse lines up the son, and the first son that Samuel sees is Eliab. Now Eliab, he's the firstborn, he's big, he's strapping, he's handsome, and immediately Samuel thinks, That's got to be the guy. He's the one. He's got to be the king. And he's ready to anoint him as king. But then God speaks to Samuel and says this in 1 Samuel 16:7. Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way that you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Amen? So what do we look at? What do we look at? What does God look at? Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. You know, what's he saying there? What's the writer of Proverbs saying? He's saying this, that your heart is your future. Your heart is your future. So let God be the gardener. Amen? Your future is not in your outside. It's not in your gifts and your abilities that you put on display. It's not your titles. It's not how good you are, how educated you are, how skilled a leader you are, how gifted you are. It's not on your outside. Your future is determined by your inside when it comes to God, right? Because God promotes you because of the state of your heart. Amen? Let me hear an amen. Amen. You think about David. David came from a fine-looking family. I mean, his brothers were tall. They were strong on the outside. But David had something on the inside that the rest of his brothers did not have. And that was a connection with God. He had a heart, the Bible says, after God's own heart. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2 says, people may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Proverbs 21:27. The sacrifice of an evil person is detestable, especially when it is offered with wrong motives. So God's not just looking at your words. He's not just looking at what you do, but he's looking at your attitude and your motives. So he's not just looking at your service, but he's looking at the attitude in which you serve. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So God promotes the humble heart. Number two, the second area that I believe that God's working on my heart and in my life and your life is in the areas of my health. Areas of my health. Daniel, in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel is one of four young Hebrew men who are captives. They're slaves in Babylon. And the king of Babylon sends his officials to round up some of the finest men in the land and to groom them for service, to become leaders under him. And, of course, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're Hebrews, but they're incredible men with young men with potential. And the officials see that they have this potential. So they begin to recruit them, and they're given this special choice food to eat. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 says, but Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and the wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. So God called Daniel right here to eat well, to get pruned physically, and to really get into shape. And God caused him to be 10 times more capable. Verse 20 says, whenever the king consulted them in any manner regarding requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. Now, if you study the history of Babylon in the Bible, you know that Babylon was literally the most powerful kingdom at that time, far beyond the USA in world dominance today. You know, they were number one in business, number one in economics, number one in education, number one in science. In a nation of number ones, it says that Daniel and those three guys, they were 10 times more capable, 10 times better. Question is why? The reason is because Daniel had an attraction to subtraction to multiply. We just came back from holidays last week, and we kind of let ourselves go. And we started eating things like cheesies and chips and cinnamon buns and all that kind of stuff. We don't just kind of let ourselves go. But now that we're back, we're going to try to eat more lean. We're going to exercise. Why? Because we want to multiply what God has for us. Amen? It's so important. You know, we need to be aware that our physical health is really important. We need to be healthy in our body as well as our soul and our spirit. Amen? In order to do what God has for us to do. I see so many people, their physical health affects them. And really as Christians too as well. We're supposed to be very healthy, not just in our soul and our spirit, but we need to be healthy in our bodies. Amen? Because we are holistic people. We're body, soul, and spirit. There are three parts. We're like God. But if you're unhealthy in your spirit, you're going to be unhealthy in your soul, and you're going to be unhealthy in your body, right? If you're unhealthy in your body and you're run down, you're going to be struggling in your soul and in your spirit, right? Because we're holistic. So that's an area that God needs to work on in our life. Number three, one more. The third area that God needs to prune and work on is the areas of intimacy with Him. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are what? You are powerless." Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the root. And you and I, we're just the branches. And listen, no fruit will come out of our lives without intimacy in Him. Amen? We can do nothing. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. The psalmist said, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." Even during COVID times, we are called to bear spiritual fruit for Jesus. Amen? Psalm 92, verse 13. "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing." You know, there's a flourishing in our lives simply because we're in a relationship with God and His church. Amen? And His desire for you and I is to prosper. His desire for us is to flourish in Him. Verse 6, Jesus continued and said, "If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father." That those three main areas that God wants to prune, I just mentioned, are your health, your heart, your health, and your intimacy. You know, for some, it might be other areas, you know, that God will speak to you about. You know, for some, it might be the tithe. You know, the tithe seems like a minus 10. But when we tithe, listen, what happens is, out of that, the windows of heaven will open up over your lives. You know, I think about Karen and I in our lives. You know, we've been serving the Lord for, I don't know, over 30 years. But we have never missed the tithe on the Lord. Over 30 years, we've never missed the tithe. You know, it could be other areas. Maybe it's in the areas of relationship, areas of mentoring and fathering. But we're going to finish by reading Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And it says this, "Have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when He corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes each one He accepts as His child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children. Whoever heard of a child who was never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is what? Always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful. But afterward, there will be a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. My challenge as we finish this message today is this. Respond to God's pruning for greater fruitfulness. Respond to God's minuses because he's setting you up for a multiplication. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Father, I believe that we're living in times that are testing our faith right now. And you want to see a people who are faithful to you, who are strong. There are things in our lives that we need to let go in order to become strong in you and the power of your might, to become the salt and light of this earth. And Lord, we know that even during COVID times, this is a pruning time for many Christians, for the body of Christ. And this is a time we need to say, Lord, whatever we need to let go of and take a hold of, Lord, we're ready to do that for you. Whether it's comfort, whether it's fear, whatever it is, we want to let go of these things because we want to follow you. And we want to love you with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength. You know, I feel that God is saying it's time to step over the line. You know, these are times when we need to step over the line and we need to declare our faith and allegiance to God once again. Today the challenge is to develop an attraction for subtraction, to allow God to prune you and to allow God to discipline you. So if that's your desire today, will you pray this prayer in agreement with me? Just agree with me today. Father God, I allow you to work in me, to prune the areas of my heart, to expose my inner motives, the attitudes of my heart that hinder me and hurt other people. Discipline me in the areas of my health. Prune me in the areas of my intimacy with you. Remove the weak, old, wayward branches so that I can multiply for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Today you can receive what Jesus did for you. If you are here today and you've never received Christ, and I believe that maybe all of us have here today, but there may be someone watching online today. Maybe you've never received this Jesus who died for you on the cross into your heart. Now today you can receive what Jesus did. Through his cross, he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. He's given us forgiveness of sins. He's given us a brand new start. He's given us an eternal life, a gift of eternal life in heaven. Galatians 3:23 says, For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We need to put our faith in Jesus. You know, God wants you to be connected to the vine, to the root, to allow his life to flow through you. Amen? And it starts just by making a decision. And this is the most important decision, the most powerful prayer that you will ever pray. You can make this decision by saying this prayer. But listen, and I've got to say this. If you make this decision, you got to mean it. You got to mean it with all your heart. You got to be willing to surrender your old life up. And you got to be willing to serve Jesus for the rest of your days. This is not a life decision. This requires all your heart and all your love to put into this decision. So I'm going to lead you into this decision. If you're ready to do that, will you pray these words after me? Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I invite you into my heart. Please forgive me for every sin that I've committed. Today and now, Lord, I have chosen to follow Jesus. There is no turning back. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Now, if you said that prayer for the very first time, if you're here, lift up your hand. If you're here, or if you're watching online, push a little button with that hand there. You know, and I want to say that, you know, this is just the first decision. Now there's a step to take. So if you made that decision, you know, come see us afterwards at the Welcome Lounge. And if you're online, you know, call the number on the screen and we'll tell you what your next step, faith in God is. This is so important. Amen? Amen. So today I'm here also to receive the tithe and the offering. So it's like I said in the message, the tithe seems like a minus, like a 10%. But what it does, it opens the windows of heaven over your life. And it brings a greater blessing in your life than you could ever imagine. I believe that tithing is such an important part of our life. I said the giving of the tithe is like planting the seed. Like planting a seed. And when you plant a seed, what are you doing? You're setting yourself up for multiplication. Isn't that right? You know, when you give your tithe, some people feel like they're giving it away and they'll never see it again. No. You know, when you give your tithe, it's like planting a seed. You plant it in the ground. It's buried, but listen, it's not dormant. It's actually doing something. It's setting you up for the increase. Amen? That's why it's so vital and important to be a giver. Here's a scripture, a great scripture, 1 Corinthians 9:10. It says, He multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. He multiplies it, the seed, what you give, as you sow it, so that you can even be more generous. You're generous today, you sow your seed, you can even be more generous tomorrow. Amen? Amen.